Has anybody ever, maybe they invited you to a party, and when you were trying to figure out if you wanted to go to that party or not, after they invited you, maybe you turned around and asked them, who's going to be there? I mean, while you're trying to figure out, do I really want to go to this, one of your deciding factors is, well, you know, who's going to be there? Because there might be some people there that I really want to be with. And there might be some people there that, well, maybe I'm not really sure if I went. So you might want to figure out, if I'm going to go there, who's going to be there when I get there? I've got a message from you, for you. I got a message for you. The God of heaven has invited you. I won't call it a party because the Bible doesn't call it that. But the God of heaven has invited you to spend an eternity in heaven. Are you thinking about that invitation? Are you thinking about the God who invited you there? Are you having the same thoughts that you have when somebody invites you to something here on the earth? Are you having the same thoughts, well, he's invited me to go to heaven. Who's gonna be there? Well, how about we think about that this morning? How about we talk about that this morning? When you think about God inviting you to spend an eternity in heaven, let's ask and answer the question this morning, who will be there? You know, heaven is one of those places that is, if you were to go there, it might say limited access. Have you ever been someplace and there was a door that said limited access and you just wanted to walk through it to prove that that wasn't true, that anybody could go in there? Heaven is one of those places of limited access. Not everybody is going to heaven. God has laid down some conditions that have to be met in order to go to heaven. And so when you ask this question, who's going to be in heaven? Not everybody, only a select few. When I think about heaven and who's going to be there, I don't know why, and I know it's not this way. I know it's not going to be like this. But I think about there being sections in heaven. Just different sections in heaven where you have these people over here and you have these people over here. And in my mind, I'm just, you know, I think about who's going to be in heaven and where are they going to be. And so I want to think about those sections, if there were going to be sections. I want to think about those sections this morning, the kind of people that we're going to see in heaven. One section of people that's going to be there are those faithful Old Testament characters. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, Jesus said that many will come from the east and the west. And Jesus says they will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I like those two words, sit down, because during a sermon you get to do it all the time. But the preacher doesn't. No, that's not why I like the word. Many will come from the east and the west and they will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. To me, that word sit down means we're going to just sit down and talk. We're going to sit down and have a conversation. Isn't that what it means to you? I don't know what does it mean? Maybe it means we're not running marathon in heaven. Can you imagine sitting down and talking to Abraham? Or better said, can you imagine sitting down and letting Abraham talk to you and tell you what it was like when God said in his old age, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And to hear your wife in the background laughing. Let Abraham tell you what that was like. Can you imagine Abraham telling you what it was like when he raised that knife above his own son and God stopped him and he saw a ram over in the bush. Let Abraham, can you imagine Abraham just telling that story over and over and how much joy he'd have in that in his heart to tell you about that ram over in the bush? Can you imagine Jacob telling you what it was like to wrestle with an angel? You want to hear that story? Let Jacob tell you what it was like to wrestle with that angel. Can you imagine sitting there with Moses Moses, you got any stories to tell? Can you imagine Moses telling you what it was like when he raised his staff and the Red Sea parted and the children of Israel crossed over on dry ground? Can you imagine Moses telling you, here's what it was like when I listened and there was a bush that was talking to me? Moses, what did that sound like? What was the voice? What did that voice sound like? And Moses is telling you about this voice talking to him from a bush. You want to hear Moses tell you that? Can you imagine being and sitting in heaven with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And they're telling you, yeah, they threw us in that fire. It was kind of chilly. I was wishing I had a sweater on because it was kind of cold. I was in a fire. They had cranked it up 7 times hotter, but I didn't feel a thing. Can you imagine them telling you what it was like inside that fire and how God protected them? Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to go to heaven and sit there with those faithful of the Old Testament and hear them tell you what it was like? But not just the faithful of the Old Testament. What about those faithful New Testament characters? Can you imagine going and sitting down with those faithful New Testament characters and let the apostles tell you about things that they saw? Can you imagine sitting there with Bartholomew, and Bartholomew tells you about Jesus taking those 5 loaves and 2 fish and how Jesus thanked God, and then you watch as Jesus just multiplies 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. And listen to Bartholomew just, I don't know how it happened, I just saw it, and just be amazed at it. Can you imagine the Apostle John telling you what was in his heart when Jesus looked down at him and said, son, behold your mother, and what that must have meant to him? Can you imagine listening to Thomas tell you what it was like to put his fingers into the flesh of Jesus? Can you imagine what it was like to sit there and to listen to Peter? To listen to Peter say, let me tell you what it was like when I stepped out of that boat and I was walking on water like I was walking on solid ground. Listen to Peter. And then listen to Peter talk about how he began to sink. Can you imagine just listening, sitting there and listening? Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Paul's going to be there. Can you imagine Paul sitting there and listening to the Apostle Paul tell you about his journeys, tell you about his preaching? Don't you want to be there? When the Bible says that heaven is going to last for eternity forever, I'm okay with that, aren't you? You get to sit and to listen to all of these Old Testament people tell you about their life. In my mind, this isn't the way it's going to be, but in my mind, maybe it's movie rooms. Maybe it's video rooms where God says, in this room is playing the Gideon story. Just come in here. And because in your imagination, you think how it went, but God says, you come over here and just watch how it went with Gideon. Don't you want to be there? Who else is there? The Bible says that those faithful Christian martyrs are going to be there. Revelation chapter 6, the Bible says that John saw Jesus open the 5th seal on that scroll. And John says, under the altar, John was able to see this, that under the altar, he says, I saw the souls. Under the altar, I saw the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God. He saw those faithful Christians who had died for their faith. And he says, I heard them, and they were crying out, and they were saying, Revelation 6 and verse 10, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood? There were Christians whose faith was so strong and firm that Jesus is the Son of God, they would not deny it, even when their own life and the life of their loved ones was put on the line. Don't you want to be there with them? Can you imagine being there with Stephen, Acts chapter 7? Can you imagine being there with Stephen and letting Stephen talk to you about that time when those people took stones and threw them at him so much that he died? Stephen, why did you let that happen? Because I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Can you imagine being there with the Apostle James in Acts chapter 12? For the Bible says that Herod had taken James and he had put him to death with the sword. Let James tell you about standing for his faith. Don't you want to go there? And to be with these kind of people who lived that kind of life and had that kind of faith. But those aren't the only folks who are going to be there. The Bible says that faithful church members are going to be there. When Jesus returns, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, the Bible says, then comes the end. When Jesus comes back, then comes the end. When He will deliver His kingdom, Jesus will take His kingdom, His church, and He will deliver it to His Father in heaven. When Jesus comes back, He is going to take those who are a part of His kingdom, a part of His church, and He's going to deliver them to His Father. Same thing that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, that Jesus is going to take His church, and He's going to, on that day, that final day, He's going to present His church unto Him as a holy people on that final day. Are you a part of that church? Those who are faithful members of the Lord's kingdom, of His church, they're going to be delivered to the Lord on that final day. There were some Christians in the church at Thessalonica in the first century that some of their fellow Christians had died, and they were concerned about them. They thought, wait a minute, Jesus hasn't come back yet, and these people have already died. They're going to miss out. And so in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, Paul says they're not going to miss out. He says to them, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. You're not somebody who has no hope. They're Christians. You're Christians. You don't need to sorrow for them. Because he says, if we believe, verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. When Jesus comes back, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14 says, He's going to bring with Him those faithful church members who have died before He came back. And so verse 16 says, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Faithful church members are going to be there. Those who have already passed from this life are going to be there. As I thought about this point, I thought about some of those who used to sit right here in this auditorium with us that we'll get to see again. I thought about Tommy Paldo, who sat right there, and Gene Puckett, Katie Summerlot, and Dana and Joyce Barnhouse, sat right there. Tom and Rose Martins, who sat right there. Norman Marie Smedley, and Sarah Crocker. And those three ladies that sat right there with Betty Sanders and Marie Watson and Helen Chapman. And Richard and Judy Laro, who sat right there. And Harold Pack. And Joe and Marion Holland. Bill and Inell Ingram. And Carol Dodd. As I thought about those people that we'll get to see again. Who doesn't want to see Novell Brown again? To get to see Red and Claudia Springer. Claudia sat right there with Tina. To see Silas and Sally Moses, who sat right back there. to see Charlie Hayes, to see Carolyn Kemp, who sat right over there, and Joseph Charles, who sat right there, to see Joanne Rogers and Linda Studer, to see Ron Cullum, who sat right there, Glenn Dawson, who sat in the pew right in front of that, to see Don and Janet Hickerson, to see Chuck Clark, who sat right there, to see Joe Quigley, who sat there in the back, to see Lillian Bankston, who sat there in the back, to see Ruth Milton, to see Bob Duvall, to see John Jackson and Gladys Jackson, to see Willie and Grace Shaw, to see right where David Whipple is sitting, Walter and Bonnie Arthur, they had that seat before you did, David, to see them again, to see Cheryl Floyd, who sat over here, and Adrian, who sat up here. And I shouldn't have started calling names. That's my bad. Because I missed somebody. I missed a lot of somebodies. I shouldn't have started calling names. But don't you want to go and see them again? When Jesus takes His church and delivers it to His Father in heaven, why would you want to miss out on that? It wasn't just those faithful church members. And I've already called some of these out. What about your faithful family members? Some of your family who have been faithful Christians. Don't you want to sit down with them again? And see them again? The verses that are on the screen from the book of Genesis, they tell us about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the terminology that's used there in Genesis 25 and 35 and Genesis 49. The terminology that's used there is that when they died, they were gathered unto their people. They were gathered unto their fathers. They got to go and be with their faithful family members. I can't wait to see my grandparents again. All four of them were members of this church. I can't wait to go and see my grandfather again. My hero who died when I was 12 years old. Some of you knew him better than I did. But I can't wait to go and see him again. Some of you have parents who were faithful Christians who are no longer here. You've got brothers and sisters who are no longer here. And yet, those who have lived faithfully, don't you want to go see them again? That's who's going to be in heaven. But that's not all who's going to be in heaven. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12 that King David had a baby, had a child. But that child did not live. And at the end of 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, the Bible says that David said, "Why shall I fast? Why shall I mourn?" In other words, he says, "That child cannot come back to me, but I shall go to him." Who's going to be in heaven? A bunch of children. A bunch of children are going to be there. David's child. He cannot come back to me, but I will go to him. David's child is going to be there. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 3, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven." What does that say about little children? They inherit the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 19 and verse 13. They were people bringing their children to Jesus. Those pesky little rotten, screaming, nasty little kids. They were bringing them to Jesus. And those disciples rebuked these people. Get these kids out of here. You know I'm joking about what I said just a minute ago, right? Jesus said to these disciples who rebuked these people from bringing their children, Matthew 19, verse 14, he said, "Let the little children do what? Come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." If Jesus said that while he was on this earth, sitting on this earth, "Let the little children come to me," guess what he's saying when he's sitting at the right hand of God right now? Let the little children come to me. It is a doctrine straight out of hell that says that babies are born into this world totally deprived. Born into this world with sin that separates them from God, and if they die, they don't go to heaven. You know where the verse is that teaches that in the Bible? It doesn't exist. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the Bible says, "The soul who sins, that soul shall die. The father shall not bear the guilt of the son, neither shall the son bear the guilt of the father. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." What does that say to you? Children, they don't inherit sin from anybody. Sin is something that we commit. Sin is what we commit that separates us from God. Some of you have had children. Some of you have had children that were born into this world. But maybe it was an accident. Some of you have been a part of this church for a number of years that if I say Mike and Nita, I don't have to say anything else. And you know about that, the accident with their little child. I think about Richard and Judy Laro's great-grandson, Mason, born into this world with all sorts of medical problems, lived longer than the doctor said he would. You know who's going to be in heaven? A bunch of children. A bunch of innocent children. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to go? But I want to be more specific than just there being children there. Because a lot of you have been down a road that has absolutely crushed your heart and crushed your spirit. That you had within your womb, moms, a child. And yet, for whatever reason, that child didn't make it. You never got to meet, perhaps, that child. You know who's going to be in heaven? In my imagination, there's a maternity ward in heaven. In my imagination, there's a maternity ward that's got all of these little beds in it with all of these little babies just waiting to meet their mom and dad. In Luke chapter 1, and we may talk more about this in a couple weeks. Luke chapter 1 talks about John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth's womb, and John the Baptist leapt in her womb. What does that tell you? There's life in that womb, and that life starts on day one. And the heartache that you've had and still have today because of that, the Lord's going to take care of that one day. When you get to meet your little baby boy, your little baby girl that you never got to meet this side of eternity. Don't you want to go there? Why would you want to miss out on being there? But all of that seven doesn't compare with number 8. Because all of that seven, none of those could be there. And while we want all of those seven sections and categories to be there, all of those, they could not be there, but the one that really matters, the one that all of us want to see, is Jesus. That's the only reason to go. I mean, we want to sit there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We want to sit there with the apostles. We want to sit there with those faithful church members and our faithful family members who've gone before. We want to see the children. We want all of that. But it doesn't have anything in comparison to seeing Jesus. In John 14 and verse 3, Jesus said that I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We will get to be in the same place as Jesus is. Colossians 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, Paul says, seek those things that are above, where Christ is right now sitting at the right hand of God. We get to go and we get to be where Jesus is. That passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we mentioned a little while ago that talks about those who are dead in Christ rising first, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet them in the air. But it says not to meet them, it says to meet the Lord in the air. And then 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 17 says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's what we're longing for. The passage that was read from Revelation chapter 21, those verses beginning verse 22 down to about verse 26 says, the Lamb of God is going to be there. That's why we want to be there. And only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, verse 27, are going to be there. It's limited access. Not everybody can go. But when you go there, you get to be with Jesus. Revelation 22 and verse 4 says, you get to see His face. Not just from a distance, you get to walk up. And while you might get to sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and while you might get to sit with Paul and Peter, and while you might get to sit with some faithful family members or some faithful church members, or while you might get to sit with your children, and while you might get to sit and rock that baby that you never got to rock before, there won't be anything better than getting to sit next to Jesus. Don't you want to hug Him? Don't you want to cry on His shoulder? I know what you're thinking, no tears in heaven. Don't you want to be there and to look Him in the eye and to say, thank you? What else are you going to say? I know you've said it here. I know you've said it a million times here. I know in your prayers you've poured out your heart and you've said those two words. But what if you can look Him in the eye and say, thank you. I literally would not be here without you. Don't you want to go? When you pick up your Bible and you read it, that's who the Bible says. If you want a Bible answer to a Bible question, who will be in heaven? That's who the Bible says is going to be in heaven. But here's the question this morning. All of that is biblically true. The question this morning is, what about you? When the history of this earth is written, and when eternity comes, and when the book of life is opened, containing the names of all of those who are going to heaven, because Revelation 21 and verse 27 says, only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life are going to heaven. When that book is opened, and all of those in that book are ushered into the gates of heaven for all of eternity, will you be there? You see, heaven is a place of limited access. Not everybody is going. Not everybody will enter into the gates of heaven. Only those who follow the conditions the Lord has laid out in His Word will enter into heaven. And so the question for you this morning is, as much as you want to meet and be in eternity with all of those people on the top of the screen, question is, are you going to be there? The Bible says, not everyone who says to me, Jesus says in Matthew 7 verse 21, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Really? Jesus, if people call upon you as Lord, you mean not all of those people are going to go to heaven? Nope. Jesus says, nope, they're not all going to go to heaven. Only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21, verse 27, are going to go to heaven. Well, who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? What does Jesus say in Matthew 7, verse 21? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Are you doing that? Are you doing the will of God? Jesus says in verse 22, many are going to say to me on the day of judgment, Lord, we thought we were going. That's David's paraphrase. Lord, we thought we had done what you wanted us to do so that we could go to heaven. How many are going to say that? First word in verse 22, many are going to say to Jesus, boy, we thought we were going. And Jesus is going to say to them in verse 23, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. I didn't approve of what you were. You thought you were serving me, but you weren't. You were serving yourselves. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Don't be one of those people. Don't be one of those people that thinks you're on the right path. Be one of those people that knows you're on the right path. Okay, how do I know that I'm on the right path? You follow what the Bible says to do. In John 8, verse 24, Jesus said that unless you believe that I am He, you're going to die in your sins. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But John 1 and verse 12 says that only gives you the right to become a child of God. You're not there yet. And so Luke 13 and verse 3 says, except you repent, you're all likewise going to perish. I must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I must repent of my sins. Romans 10 and verse 9 says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession's made unto what? Unto salvation. What does that mean? I'm not there yet. I've believed Jesus, the Son of God. I've repented of my sins. I've confessed my faith in Jesus. But guess what? I still have my sins. I still have them. And the reason that I still have them is because they have not been washed away by the blood of Jesus. You know, Revelation 1 and verse 5 says that the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Jesus. Well, when are my sins washed away? The Bible, not a preacher, not a church, not some group out there. The Bible says that our sins are washed away when we arise and are baptized. And we are washing our sins away. That word washing is a participle that indicates that at the moment of the baptism, at that same time, the washing of our sins is taking place. My sins cannot be washed away by the blood of Jesus until I follow the plan of God, believing Jesus, Son of God, repenting my sins, confessing my faith, and being baptized. You will not find a verse in the Bible anywhere that says you can wash away your sins until you are baptized. Individuals want to say baptism is not essential for salvation, and yet Acts 22 and verse 16 says it absolutely is. I still have my sins, and they're not washed away until I'm baptized. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done what the New Testament says to do in order to become a Christian, in order to have your sins taken away by the blood of Jesus, that you might be raised to walk in newness of life? Revelation 2 and verse 10, to be faithful unto death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, so that we might hear those words that will be said by Jesus, hopefully to us on the day of judgment, Matthew 25, verse 23, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, there's only two possibilities of what you're going to hear on the day of judgment. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me into everlasting fire. That's it. Are you going to hear those words? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Are you living faithfully to the Lord? Revelation 22 verse 14 says, blessed are those, some translations say, blessed are those who do His commandments. Some translations say, blessed are those who wash their robes. Whichever it is, it's the same thing. When I do His commandments, my robe has been washed in the blood of Jesus. It says, blessed are those, because now they have a right to the tree of life and they get to enter into the gates of the city. Are you going to enter into the gates of the city? The wages of sin, Romans 6 and verse 23, wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, is going to heaven forever. Where is that? In Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ today, if you're not faithfully living in Christ today, if you've never been baptized into Christ today, why not take care of it today? So that when you leave here today and the question is asked, who will be in heaven, you can know for certain that's going to be me. Hebrews 12, verse 23 says, only those who are in His church have their names registered in heaven. If you don't know for certain that you will be in heaven, why don't you make it right now as together we stand and sing.